Hello and welcome to Who Are You? This is the Babylon 5 Watchcast by two former strangers, now friends, who got to know each other while watching a favorite show from their childhood, Babylon 5. I'm Jafar.
And I'm Laura.
And was it obvious I was about to do the last time on intro because I caught myself almost doing the last time on intro?
It was not obvious. I was totally in the dark until you said something.
Good. I always worry about that. I'm recording last time on right after this, so.
Yeah, you're just like ready to go. You're running ahead.
I'm juggling both in my brain right now.
Sure, yeah.
Just like I've had to juggle a lot in my brain about this, our season 5 recap episode.
I know. There's a lot to think about. There was a lot of ground that was covered in this season.
Yeah. It is a season that I was like not really looking forward to, admittedly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's not an uncommon sentiment, right?
The telepath stuff was just as bad as I remembered.
Yeah.
Incel Lanier was worse than I remembered. But there was a lot of stuff that was much better than I remembered. And I did really enjoy our watch through of this season.
Yeah, me too. There was a lot that I didn't remember as well. So especially the telepath stuff, I was like, I hear from existing in the universe that this is bad, right? But again, it was one of those things that everyone talks about it so much as being so awful that when I watched it, I was like, there's things here that suck, yes, but like y'all talked it so hard, it didn't hit me as hard, you know?
Yeah.
Before we get into, like, our favorites and the ones of this season, maybe we should just kind of recap where some things we're at from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So we did, like, a major races recap, I think, with all the other seasons, and I was thinking about that a little bit. We don't get any more old races, right? No Shadows, no Vorlons. Gone.
Nope.
Beyond the Rim. Not a lot from the Minbari this season as a major race, really.
No.
It seems like, I guess, with the season 4, you know, we restructured the Grey Council, we're giving the workers more power. Like, that was a rebalancing that is just fine. It just works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just kind of laying back in the cut a bit.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, that's what they did for a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's probably natural for them to go back to that. And also, we don't get a lot of follow-up on their whole civil war that happened at the same time as the Earth Civil War.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the reconstruction there is just all like, oh, we're all just friends again, guys.
Let's rebuild our crystal towers.
Yeah, in ways that I can't fathom.
It's, you know, very strange.
If I see people with certain bumper stickers on their cars, I get upset. There hasn't even been open hostilities count. I mean, depending on how much we count a certain day. No specific dates mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine that just being everything okie-dory so quickly for them again.
Yeah.
But they also have, you know, a couple extra thousand years of cultural evolution compared to humanity.
They also have longer lifespans. So maybe when you have these conflicts, do they manifest differently and like slower and more passive aggressive than others because you have 200, 300 years to stew on it or whatever?
Humans are like, I got to get this fight out now.
Yeah. I might die tomorrow. I need to go. Yeah. I don't know. Speaking of humans, really the human situation is all about the telepath problem. Like, you would think, again, we just had this big major civil war, that there'd be other shockwaves resonating from that.
Yeah.
But we really don't have it. We have telepath conflict.
Yeah. There's a little bit with, like, what side were you on, Lockley?
Yeah, for, like, the first three episodes or whatever, and then we finally let it go.
Yeah, Garibaldi is the meme from Civil War with the pink sunglasses, just being all like, what kind of Earth Force are you?
So timely, Jafar.
Right. I have to go see that. It's still in theaters for another probably couple weeks.
I don't know. I saw the preview and I was like, I think I have anxiety. I think I have too much anxiety for this.
That's fair. I think that's the point, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get why that's important for sure.
Yeah.
Personally, might be too much anxiety. So everybody's just really cool after all of our civil wars. Really, the two major races that I think get some spotlight time is going to be the Narn and the Centauri. Mostly the Centauri, but a little bit mm-hmm. the Narn. Mostly from like their religious leadership front.
Yeah, we get a broader view of the Centauri, and we get a very, very focused view of the Narn through solely Jakar, it feels. Mm-hmm. Like, there are other non-characters, but every Narn in this season is defined by their interactions with Jakar compared to any other character.
Yeah, yeah. And it really seems like there could be more there, because the Narn went through a really devastating tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But they've, as part of that, like, trauma, seized onto Jakar and his experience to like try to show them the way.
Yeah.
It helped that he was the only surviving Kari leader, right?
Yeah. At least, I mean, there are more now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were OG Kari that survived and we just didn't notice, or.
I think that was a plot point at one point, was like he was the only Kari member that didn't get trialed and murdered or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Centauri is really the focus, with their sort of decay and decline as they fall into the clutches of the Drak.
Yep. We get the Drak. We do get a lot more with the minor races. Mm-hmm. They're not even, I mean, minor races is really, shouldn't, it feels dirty.
The very term is racist. Yeah.
The non-main character races.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, we get a lot of Drazi. We get a lot of Brakiri this season. Mm-hmm.
The game show up a little more.
Yeah. We go to the Drazi homeworld twice.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, that's glow up for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we get like a bunch of cultural background for them and stuff in their super tiny hallways.
They're really narrow streets.
Yes, the things that are completely impractical for logistics of moving goods around is their marketplace. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Very practical for a warehouse set where you have limited space. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, we get a little more expansion of the universe in that we mm-hmm. talk about and visit the Drazi, see a lot more from those characters. And, as we're expanding this alliance, it all makes sense. It all fits together.
Yeah, that's what we would expect.
Yeah. Really, if you wanted to divide the season into its major themes, that first half is really like telepath stuff, right? And the second half is like Centauri Alliance stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, overall, like, if I had to put three words to this season, mm-hmm. it would be, well, now what?
Yeah. Very excellent point.
It's like, we did the thing. The civil wars are over. We defeated the shadows. Like, we won the big war. We won the little wars. We've straightened ourselves out. We uh-huh. have coalesced as a galactic society in at least some regard. And now we have to live in this universe that we've just spent years fighting to create.
Mm-hmm. And it's really hard because not all of us have really changed. Like, individual people might be affected and changed, but societies as a whole haven't changed much.
And they don't. It takes time for these things.
Right.
You know, how we live with life-changing events is just as important as how we handled those life-changing events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how they change and shape us. And so much of that is at the core of this season. It's all like, we've decided that we run the galaxy now.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of galaxy are we going to run?
Yeah.
Are we going to be interventionists? Are we going to be very passive? Are we going to learn from our forebears' mistakes? Are we doomed to repeat them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you think about the telepath crisis, just off mm-hmm. the cuff here, instead of from the eyes of a human, how would a Vorlon or a shadow who was forced to deal with this instead of just being able to pass it off as nothing like they typically would, you know, how would they handle that?
Yeah.
You know, and they try for a very Vorlon-y, like, well, you're on your own, like, and they are asking for direct intervention. You know, they want to be taken into a home world. They want a place of their own to guide their own destiny. But at the same time, that's very like they want to take something from another group of people and make it theirs, which is right. Exactly what the Vorlons did to them.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, it's all very gray and messy. It seemed like the season four choices and dilemmas that we were faced with at least had a very surface black or white to them.
Mm-hmm.
But the telepath crisis is nothing but gray. Like, it's just gray all the way down.
Yeah. And not Harriman Gray, because it would have been cool to have him back.
Yeah.
A thing JMS had said in the build-up to season 5 and writing the scripts and everything is it's easy to destroy, it's difficult to build.
Yeah.
And how he was more interested in telling a story about building than destroying.
Uh-huh.
I wish that ended up being the case.
Yeah, there's so many logistical problems that sandbagged season 5, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just really, really took out some of our favorite characters and truncated some themes and had to try to fill out some other themes. And
yeah,
it could have been so beautiful. What is it with last seasons?
Right. Joe, if you're listening, and I know you're not, you made it so hard to make dick and fart jokes this season. Why?
There needed to be more Centauri sex, obviously. That would have been
right.
Yeah, more naked Centauri body parts and
easy pickings. Yeah, where's Londo? You know, manipulating his keeper. I don't know. This is weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's also.
I was gonna make a joke,
right?
About
yeah, it's
about
weird.
The like Emperor threesomes, because we get Veer at the in the sleeping in light, yeah, with his like two ladies in the bed.
So part of me wonders about the logistics of Centauri sex, like in a bed, if you're like,
mm-hmm,
like I assume the male genitalia are forward facing.
Yeah,
I
know it's been
female
heavily
genitalia
implied,
are
right?
On their back.
That's the implications that we've had in this show. Yes.
So, like, I don't even remember what direction anyone was facing in that bed. But yeah, to me, it just is like, I'm not quite sure how all this is going on. Maybe that's the joke. I don't, mm-hmm, you know what? I don't, and you know what I'm not going to do? Not going to fucking Google it. I'm going to stop thinking about it.
I
don't
want to
hear anyone's thoughts. Please do not tell me how this works. I don't want to think about it anymore for the rest of my life. Thank you.
So a difficult season to wrap up a pretty serious show, even though it has, yeah, its light goofs and moments and things. If you had to pick a favorite episode out of this season, Jafar, what would you pick?
How could it not be Sleeping in Light?
I'm glad I went with my number two pick, because I was trying to make sure I have something different to say.
I mean, it's Sleeping. You can just say Sleeping in Light. We can say, I mean, do you want to hear my favorite that's not Sleeping in Light? Because it's obviously the best episode of the season and one of the best episodes of the show.
It is a beautiful wrap up. So if you had to like pick a second one, what is your second?
Day of the Dead. I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah.
It's such a fun concept.
Yes, it's fun. It's well written. Favorite guest writer. Like, mm-hmm, what's not to love? Yeah. If I was going to pick one that's not Sleeping in Light, I'm going to pick The Fall of Centauri Prime, because I really do just love that Centauri story and watching Londo fall into the hands of the Drak and having to take his lumps for horrible things he's done earlier in the show. He's reaping what he sowed. The karma has come home to roost. It's just really sad.
I will say, when we did a thing at some point with Yum Yum about, I said Day of the Dead was the best thing, or I said Road Home was the best thing produced by Babylon 5 since Day of the Dead. I do retract that statement officially, if I didn't remember to do it when we had that conversation before, because The Fall of Centauri Prime is a fantastic episode. Objects in Motion is a fantastic episode. And I had forgotten how good some of this back end season 5 stuff was. And I was wrong when I said that thing earlier. And as a white man in America, it's my job to say I'm wrong sometimes.
It's an important example that you're holding up, and I really appreciate you. Yeah.
Right. So that's our favorite episodes. However, what was your least favorite episode this season?
If I have to pick just one.
Yeah.
It is Objects at Rest.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's recency bias coming in. That, you know, we tore that one up pretty well with Scott.
We did. I will say that was my initial. And then I'm all like, no, I've got to pick something early season. There's so much terrible episodes in the learning in the early season.
Do tell.
And so I decided to go with episode 5, Learning Curve.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is the two Mimbari Ranger trainees visiting the station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That episode is, there's like two cool Ranger things that happen in that episode, and everything else is absolute trash or filler or trashy filler.
And when you're promised Rangers, you should get more cool stuff, right?
Right.
Marcus set a very high bar. And they did not clear it.
Even the minor character Rangers who have speaking lines are all sweet before this. Fucking Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Just nails it.
Good
Knocks
point.
Him out of the fucking park.
That's okay. Another turkey.
Do you have a underdog episode? An episode that you were expecting to not like that you actually really enjoyed?
You know, I saw the word underdog and I took it really literally instead of our usual definition of what is an episode you didn't expect to like but then did. No, I went and picked our favorite underdogs of the whole series, Mac and Bo in A View from the Gallery.
It's a great episode.
I was gonna love it, but it's because they're our favorite little underdogs. So scrappy.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. If you took our traditional definition, what is your underdog episode?
The Paragon of Animals is one that in the telepath crisis that I was not expecting to enjoy. And it's probably the peak of any, of the prime telepath stories that don't have Bester that we get this season of those handful of episodes. I mean, it's half of the first half of the season. It's probably the best.
Yeah. I was looking through the list of episodes and had positive things that came up in my mind about Paragon of Animals. So, yeah, I can buy off on that. I would co-sign that as an underdog episode for the season.
Yeah.
Oh, the other one that I would, you know, if I was taking it more seriously and literally, the Korra's Mother, the Korra's Father episode. Like, I don't remember how I actually felt about it, but I do like that it fleshed out more of the Psi-Corps without involving that much of Babylon 5. And yeah, there was the creepy, like, weird incesty vibes and just gross stuff between Bester and those interns. But I think it really set a tone and it really made you understand the Psi-Corps. And I want more about Psi-Corps. So I did like that presence of that episode.
All right. Well, before we get on to the ones, we do have a bit of viewer responses, other people's thoughts on season 5 that I'd like to read.
Yeah, I would love that.
These are not that the order they came in.
Sure.
But rather in the order easiest for me to read, because I've got a current scroll up on the Discord from Warpstone. Mm-hmm. So if anyone else posted in the Current with Pod channel, sorry that I don't have it up. This, I ask for these over DMs usually for this reason. But Warpstone was the first one I hit when I was scrolling up. Thought one, how does Season 5 rank compared to Season 1? My theory presupposes that Season 5 isn't bad so much as just given the impossible task of following Seasons 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah.
I still think Season 1 has more better episodes than this season.
Yeah.
But Season 3 and 4 are two of the strongest seasons of television.
Agreed.
Full stop.
Yeah. So, if I had to put these in order of like best to worst, 1 to 5, I don't know if I can do it. I certainly can't do it off the top of my head, like right now.
Yeah.
And that would be for series recap, not season recap anyway.
Yeah. I mean, 3 and 4 would be probably in that order, the top of my list.
Yeah. Yeah. But the rest of them, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I'm going to sit here hemming and hawing about 1 and 2 for a while. Mm-hmm. Which we should do that when we come to our series recap.
Sure.
In a couple of months.
Yeah. What other thoughts?
Let's see. How much of our dissatisfaction with Season 5 is JMS trying to complicate characters we would have liked to keep frozen in the rising star levels of development? Mm-hmm. Sheridan being a generally bumbling head of state, for example, is something we bounce off of, but maybe that was the point. Fair.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the character development is either just very minor in continuing on a path they were on, or is insanely different than what we would expect from that character.
Mm-hmm. Totally off the rails,
for
yeah.
The sake. Yeah, totally off the rails. By the way, coining incel Lanier was really the chef's kiss moment of the season. Congrats.
Well, to Warpstone's point about, you know, JMS complicating characters in Season 5, it's certainly not something we're used to get a bunch of complications to people while we're trying to also wrap things up. That does feel weird, doesn't it? Like in mm-hmm. a story arc sort of way. And to the incel Lanier storyline, gosh, it's just so annoying and disappointing to see someone like purposefully mess up their product, their art product, because they want to make a personal point to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I actually thought up, I don't know if this is the time for it, but in the car yesterday, I was thinking about Babylon 5 Season 5 for some reason.
Yeah.
And thinking about Lanier and how the request that Bill Mumy had could have maybe been thoughtfully considered in a more satisfying way than, oh yeah, I'll show you. And I had an idea, yep. And I wanted to run it past you.
I'm here for it.
So instead of what we got,
yeah,
we reconsider another character's romantic plotline and maybe ship the two of them together instead. And that would be Lanier and Leeta.
Mm. You know, there is some common ground there. They uh-huh. both are kind of forgotten about.
Right.
You know, they're both kind of like attached to these people or events that are major, and then they're just kind of set aside for them to go on and continue to do other great things without them.
Yeah. Less power in a way. Yeah. Even though yeah. Leeta has apparently vast nuclear bomb powers. She didn't have a lot of political power. Didn't have a lot of social power.
No.
You know, I was like, you can work that in the telepath crisis stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, Lanier has shown before that he does these sort of, for lack of a better word, humanitarian efforts where,
yeah,
notably Delenn and Lanier went to the Markab that like quarantined themselves and burned themselves out with their virus?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the Markab. But they went, and they went to minister to those very sick people. It would not be out of his character to go and deliver medical supplies or food to hold up telepaths and to sit and have a thoughtfully considered conversation with Lita. And you don't even have to make it, like, overtly in love. You can just get little signals between the two of them that people then ship them together and be like, Lita and Lanier forever, you know, on their notebooks.
I mean, Lanier leaving his ranger training to escort Lita around to look for a telepath homeworld makes a lot more sense to me than her just jumping ship with Chakar.
Yeah, yeah. I know we got a cheeky nod to that. Like, this doesn't quite make sense, but I got to wrap everybody up when they have their conversation about we've never talked since season one. And yeah, that is funny, but still, I would love to see Lita and Lanier, like, trying to do justice for telepaths together instead of, you know, what happened to Lanier specifically. So, yep. I thought you might like that. I wanted to share that with
No,
everyone.
That's fun. No, the only problem I see with Joe and this plot is that it's going to be really hard to have very awkward near nudity scenes with Pat Tallman in this relationship compared to the one with Byron. And he really needed to get those on there for TNT. Mm. So,
yeah,
I'm sure for TNT, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Uh-huh. I don't know when they started their relationship, but
I mean, we can figure that out, and it will still be less offensive than Incel Lanier. So
it's true. 100%.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Warpstone, for giving us some things to think about and talk about.
Yep. We got one from Shellock here in the Discord. Sleeping in Light still hits every time. I still love the Centauri stuff. Still hate the telepath beginning to the season. And Lockley was done dirty when she was not written her potential. Mm-hmm. She's okay in some eps, and some eps she's great, but I feel she was underwritten.
Definitely.
Can't wait to see what's next for Who Are You?
You know, sometimes I found myself wondering in episodes, like, where the fuck is Lockley? Like, I feel like Lockley needs to be here for this. And I'm sure it was just a schedule conflict or something. But still, I wanted more of Lockley. I agree.
Lockley is a good character who gets done dirty, 100%. I know that Lockley's in Crusade. I don't remember Lockley's part in Crusade. Uh-huh. And so I'm going to, like, hold my breath as I say this, but I hope it's really good.
Yeah, I hope it's better than what I've heard about Crusade. Cross my fingers. Knock on
wood. It's not going to be, but we're going to try.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a bad bit to try. Okay. Let's see here. Got a couple emails in the inbox.
Okay.
Ben.
Superfan Ben.
Super fan, my co-host over on Last Time On, and also just one of my best friends, sent in a nice email for us. Hello to the wonderful Who Are You hosts and community. I've actually been so happy listening to season 5 coverage, because while there are absolutely reasons why it is understandably derided as the worst of Babylon 5, there's still some really wonderful stuff that could be overlooked with the typical just skip from Rising Star to Sleeping in Light take.
Mm.
While I've made it clear how much I love A View to the Gallery and Movements of Fire and Shadows during their views of those episodes, there are honestly some fun things in the season. As much as it's annoying that everyone needed brain worms for her to change, having Lita finally coming out of the other side, constantly treating everyone like trash makes me happy. Buddy Londo and Jakar are so much fun, it makes me sad it's not something we get more of.
Mm-hmm.
And while it is frustrating at times, it's nice to see the sausage getting made part of making a new government, seeing new founders as just people who make mistakes and how things get away from them, like with the Book of Jakar.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now, yes, there's the Byron in the room and all of the problems that come with Garibaldi's drinking storyline, and Lockley being a surprise replacement of Vonova with a mix of her backstory. Oh, hey, we got rid of the stern brunette with a tragic lesbian background, so let's just copy-paste that in. but we'll add in another Sheridan divorce. I do wish we had a few more seasons to see how many ex-wives JMS could fit into Sheridan's backstory.
Fuck yes.
He's averaging one every two seasons.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I was going to comment how much for Afterthought Franklin was, but I've forgotten about him as much as the show did. All told, season 5 actually reminds me of a quote I read about Star Trek the original series. One episode will be a transcendent piece of science fiction media that sets the bar for everything around it, and the next will be the worst thing you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And while it for sure has more misses than hits, when it's good, it's just as good as anything in seasons 3 or 4. Congrats on going beyond the rim, and I can't wait to see what Crusade and Battlestar will bring. Hashtag justice for Gata. That's a Battlestar Galactica reference that we'll get to.
Yeah,
in
totally
like 2 years.
Lost on that. Yeah, okay. I look forward to it.
Well, thanks for emailing in, Ben.
Thanks for that, Ben. You always have such concise, beautifully written thoughts. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't say anything nice, so. It's part of our friendship dynamic at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. I appreciate it, Ben. Thank you very much. And then finally, we got an email about 12 hours ago before recording.
Squeaking
so
it
Francis,
in before the buzzer. Talk about
just,
it.
Just in. Francis says, hi, all. Just wanted to drop a line of congratulations on finishing up the final episode of Babylon 5 proper. Thanks for sharing your friendship and insights with listeners like me. I've gotten so used to pretending the 5th season didn't exist, I would have never thought anyone could put a positive spin on it for me. Imagine how surprised I was to find myself rewatching to keep up with your podcast. I still hate Byron, and I still think they did Lanier dirty, mm-hmm. but your talent for finding the pearls in the mud had me looking at season 5 in a new way.
Oh, that is the sweetest thing that right? anyone has ever said to me. Oh my gosh. All right.
Here's hoping your talents make the remaining B5 movies and Crusade as interesting. Justice for Lita. Thank you, Francis.
Yes. Thank you so much. What an honor that has been to share our friendship with you, because that was so nice.
Yeah, thank you. It hit me right in the feels.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we can make River of Souls and Crusade as interesting as we've made some episodes of season 5 for you. Truly.
I honestly don't remember much about the Babylon 5 movies, but I don't remember hating a Babylon 5 movie till The Lost Tales. So I'm a little worried the way you've talked up River of Souls.
All I remember is Martin Sheen.
Okay.
So.
That's interesting. Okay.
I think it's Martin Sheen. Anyways, yeah. I mean, Crusade, we've told any of our fellow podcasters in the Babylon 5 community in the League of Non-Aligned podcasts that we're doing Crusade, we get crazy eyes. Like, people are all like, what the fuck are you actually doing over there?
Yeah. I wonder if those are just going to be 20-minute episodes of like, stuff happened and it's over. I hope not. I hope we're better than that, but
I mean, I'm sure there will be a bit of that. I will say, I think some of our best episodes come from some of the worst episodes of Babylon 5.
I think that is true of the lighthearted rewatch podcasts always. Yes.
Yeah. You know, we're not here trying to dissect things. We're not here, you know, talking about the artistic backgrounds and symbolism used, or, you know, we're not calling out actors in their careers, and we're not trying to figure out the show because we're watching it for the first time, or we're not listening to people try to figure it out and then talking about them figuring it out. And all of those things are fun, and I'm actually starting to listen to some Babylon 5 podcasts now, and I'm enjoying all of those takes on the show. That's just not what we do here.
Yeah.
That ain't us.
We're here to drink stuff and laugh at each other and our show. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm optimistic that view might change in 2 months once we're starting into it, really. But we'll see.
I'm still looking forward to it. None of the negativity can bring me down.
at the very worst, it will be an hour spent hanging out with one of my friends. So
yeah,
I'm not too worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Always a good time.
Well, we have one little bit of our season recap left. It's time for the one.
Mm-hmm.
The one favorite thing that we have. We've got a list of stuff from the season here. So I can start us off here. Laura, what is the one best bit this season?
For me, the one best bit was every time Lockley just like smashed Garibaldi in the nuts.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed it so much because we spent a whole series just kind of ripping on Garibaldi and her like awareness as a character of I should also rip on Garibaldi was just perfect for me.
Yeah.
A synthesis of my interests.
I have a shout out. It is not my best bit, but I want to get it out there real quick, which is Lockley taking her coffee like the Beastie Boys.
I like my sugar with coffee and cream.
Yeah. I forget what song
that was a good
in.
One too.
Yeah, but
what is your best bit?
My best bit has to be Jakar sleeping in CNC during Day of the Dead because this makes absolutely no sense by any metric whatsoever.
Agree. I love when somebody does something totally unhinged and it's just unspoken, unsaid during the episode and you're just like, wait, this is bonkers.
Right. How did we get here where this is okay?
Right. I love it too. Yeah. Who is your best recurring character in this season?
Talon. Just like straight up. Talon's so good. And this is like, admittedly, some of this is Talon from previous seasons.
Sure.
Because he's not, we don't get a full story for him in any one season. He's kind of spread out. So I had to like wait to save this for the end. But Talon is a really interesting character to me. And I really like that he, how'd Scott say it? He's the next generation crew. You know, it makes a lot of sense. And I appreciate that take. And yeah, no, Talon's just an excellent, fun character.
I actually chose Talon as my first one, but I try to have a backup handy in my pocket.
Which I appreciate. And,
yeah, my backup would be Minister Verini.
Okay.
Or I suppose he's Regent Verini at this point, isn't he? The Regent. Because he's just so tragic. I mean, he was just a man who wanted his pastels and wanted to be a trendsetter. And he made the mistake of just floating along with the wrong people and wound up in a position of power he was not equipped for and overpowered by a species he had no knowledge of.
Yeah.
And put in a place to just die. And his last episodes, especially the very last, were just really sad. And he was so coherent and he knew the great tragedy that was befalling him. I found it very interesting.
All right. Those are the favorite reoccurring characters. Laura, who do you think had the most character growth? The one character had the most growth this season.
This is really hard.
Is it? Right. You sure it's not Lise?
Nah.
Obligatory, we love Lise.
Oh, that was should have been our best recurring character. Oh, we goofed. Oh, well.
It's fine.
Ryan is screaming at his podcatcher right now.
No, I think most character growth is really more of an appropriate win for her.
Sure, sure. I actually chose Lita for most character growth because she goes from that kind of like, you know, I was happy to be a little soldier in the big war for the galaxy and just tell me what to do and where to be to like unhinged nuclear weapon. Like that is a huge, huge divide that she crossed over with the death of Byron. I'm not sure how earned that was because I didn't like buy into their relationship. But yeah. I think she had every right to be fucking angry without a man involved at all. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it sucks that she finally gets to grow as a character because of a man dying and not yeah. because of her taking agency. So that, but no, she grows a lot. For me, I think slightly related answer is Zach. Has a ton of character growth this season.
Mm-hmm. Especially when he stands up to Garibaldi about his problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the big moment for sure, where he really stepped into his own as a character. And that was when, you know, when they're like saying goodbye at the end of the season, and these are the people that are running the station, you know, and Zach says, I'm going to be here when they turn the lights off. I believe him at this point. And I don't know that I would have at the end of season 4.
Yeah. Agree. Mm-hmm. He's really stepped into his responsibilities.
Yeah, he's really grown as a character and into his role on the station. And that's where he belongs. So. Mm-hmm. All right.
I like that.
Who is the best one-off character?
I mean, if you don't pick Rebo and Zooty, why are you even here?
I mean, once again, actually, shout out Bo and Mac.
Oh, yes, yes. Bo and Mac.
Only duos.
Actually, I pick Zooty before I pick Rebo because I find Teller more palatable than Penn.
I think everyone in the universe would agree with you there, including Penn.
Yeah. So I would pick Zooty, but we got, you know, not in addition to them as one-off characters in Day of the Dead, we had Zoe, we had our callbacks to Adira and Morden. All of those were really interesting. And that was one of the charming things about that episode, was like we had more to do with characters that weren't the main characters.
Yeah.
Than the main characters almost, which is also why we love Bo and Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Agree. Do you have a best guest actor?
Oh, how could it not be Walter?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so good this season. He is exactly the villain he needs to be. He lives in this space. He loves it. He has a great time.
Yeah. He is so sinister, especially in the episode with his interns, that
yeah,
he just plays it so well, especially when you are used to seeing like Star Trek movie Walter Koenig. So yeah, I don't have a better choice than that. Nope.
Okay. Well, we can just move on. What moment do you wish Sinclair was here for?
Garibaldi's alcoholism. Like everything with that storyline.
Good answer.
Yeah. I wanted Sinclair for all of that. I feel like he would have detected it earlier. I feel like the confrontation would have been better.
Yeah, none of this. Well, I had my suspicions. Sinclair would have, like, the second he thought it was happening, would have gone into his quarters and thrown empty bottles at him.
Mm-hmm. And the conflict between the two of them would have been deeper and more meaningful.
Agreed. So.
That's I think when I wanted Sinclair.
Sinclair is a very reserved person.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one time I can see him getting truly angry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And righteously so. Uh-huh. Having been with Michael through this, having taken the gamble on him and believing that he had healed and everything.
Yeah.
And gotten over this in his life and worked with him so hard. And for him to hide it from him,
Yeah, the lack of trust, the breaking of that would have been even more impactful.
For sure.
What about you? What moment did you want Sinclair the most?
I called it out in the episode, but the last 10 minutes of the telepath crisis, where they're like all in that bay everything goes splody. I feel like Sinclair could have just... That episode would not have been a tragedy of telepaths if Sinclair was around.
Yeah, I feel like we would have tried harder for the telepaths or something. I feel like Sinclair would have tried to have his arms around that a little better than Sheridan did.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have a best stepdad moment?
I ragged on Sheridan a lot in this season. I feel like every episode I said, I don't like his face, or I don't like his suits, or I don't like his attitude or his behaviors. I did not treat Sheridan very good this season.
Well,
but
he's kind of a piece of shit this season, so
I'm going to give him a moment here and give him some credit. I think I gave him some brief credit in the episode as well, but I think a real stepdaddy kind of moment, and actually a decent stepdaddy kind of moment, was when he tried to extend that olive branch to Lanier and be like, hey, buddy, you know, I know it's a little awkward, but maybe with time, if you want to come visit, we'll be on Minbar. You can come stay with us. Like, the olive branch to Lanier in Objects at Rest was actually pretty decent. He was a good person there.
Yeah.
I'll give him props.
I have a twist on this one.
Okay.
That we didn't discuss beforehand, so I'm sorry.
I'm excited for it.
It occurred to me while we were recording. So I didn't have time to change the category on our spreadsheet that we're working off of to let everyone have a peek behind the curtain. So we started best stepdad moment with, you know, Sheridan taking over Sinclair. But Lockley is taken over for Sheridan.
Is she our stepdad now?
So I have a best stepmom moment. And it is when she sells that chunk of the station to the Bracciri. Because fuck it.
Sure.
Like, she literally has no reason to do this. And legally binding, like, they have to, like, they make her sign these documents and stuff, right? Like, it's a whole thing. Like, the station is legally, that chunk of it is not belonging to Earth Force or ISA anymore. There's no way she has the authority to do this, even as captain of the station. Like, and she just says fuck it and does it.
But you know what? It would make one of her stepchildren really happy, and it doesn't have any effect on the other children, really. Like, they'll get over it. It's just one night. Like, I totally get it. Yeah.
Yeah. This moment is, like, her and Sheridan are driving with the League of Non-Aligned Worlds in the back seat, and the Bracciri ask for McDonald's, and Sheridan says, we have McDonald's at home, and she just pulls in and starts ordering ice creams.
Yep. Love
that. Is this moment.
Way to go, stepmom. Yeah, I'm here for it.
Do you have a favorite character from this season?
It's got to be Lockley. Like,
yeah,
she's just so cool. I didn't realize she was cool. You know, I'm just here for her, like, ribbing Garibaldi about his job. That's also great. But then she actually, like, shows some care and concern about him later, where she says, you know, we're so much alike, and I almost fucked up my whole life, and watching you fuck up your whole life makes me feel a lot of things, and I'm warning you, don't do it. I really liked that with her. What about you? Who would have your favorite character been?
Lise.
Damn it, I missed it again. I was supposed to say that.
Just got to get one in.
Yeah. We love Lise.
We love Lise.
Do you have a favorite quote of this season? Season 4, season 3, those were really easy for me. I couldn't pull one for season 5 off the dome.
I was like, I need a good quote. I'm thinking, what episode has the best quotes? Who has the best quotes? And let me find that Venn diagram of character and episode and go to it. And I was not let down. And that Venn diagram is Objects in Motion and Jakar.
Yeah, I was going to say, the second you said who has the best quotes, I was like, oh, it's Jakar. He's got a Jakar quote.
I have got a Jakar quote.
Hit me.
We are the sum of our tears. Too little and the ground is not fertile and nothing can grow there. Too much and the best of us is washed away. Right.
He's really good. Yeah.
If it was like one line less, it'd be a tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel so bad about all the tears I've cried in my life anymore.
Right.
I used to feel weird for being a crier, but it's fertile ground, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. What a ride.
Yeah.
This season was.
We did it. We got through season 5.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have a bit of Babylon 5 to go.
Thank goodness. I'm not ready to let go.
No. We're going to keep talking Babylon 5 universe until November. Next week, we've got River of Souls.
All right.
Which is one of the made-for-TV movies. Mm-hmm. A group of soul hunters come to Babylon 5 demanding the return of something that was stolen from them. That's all we get.
Hmm. Interesting.
And this does, in fact, star Martin Sheen as a soul hunter.
Oh, boy. I'm not sure that's how I would have cast that, but okay.
Wayne Alexander is back. Ian McShane is in this movie. It's going to be a good one. It maybe not. I don't remember, but I'm looking forward to it regardless.
It'll be a good episode of this podcast. I will go ahead and go out on that limb and guarantee it.
Oh, there we go. And then after that, we're finally going to do Road Home.
Yeah. Okay. The thing the people have been waiting for like a year now. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been almost a year since I saw it for the first time at this point. Mm-hmm. And
that's true.
Yeah. No, it's I haven't watched it since I got the DVD. So I'm looking forward to going back to it and seeing how I feel about it now that I've had time.
Can't wait.
But River of Souls before that, and then Book Club, and then we're taking a week off. And then we start our Crusade coverage by watching A Call to Arms that Vic will be joining us for that episode.
Oh, wonderful. It'd be great to have him.
How I'm telling him that it's on the recording queue right now. So hopefully he listens.
Oh, he'll listen. We love Victor. Yeah.
All right. Well, we also love Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy Siegel, for our lovely theme music. You can find more of Jeremy's work at jeremysiegel42.bandcamp.com on streaming services as Nuclear Jaguar. And then he's doing a bunch of shows right now.
Yeah. He's got one like tomorrow, I think, or maybe I'm getting my days twisted, but the Late Night Losers, I think, is his next one.
Yeah. Look up the bands. The timing is because this episode's not out for 2 weeks. So.
Oh, yeah. Also, there's that.
Yeah.
Oh, and hey, Jeremy's put together the, Post-Apocalypse Now theme song. I can't wait to share it with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm sorry
Post-Apocalypse Now has been such a slow roll, but it's hard when you got so many podcasts. You know how it is.
I do. I understand completely.
Yeah. And thank you to Angry Deck Time Machine on Instagram for our podcast artwork. I need to be reaching out about some new podcast artwork.
Yeah, we have to pick some characters. You don't have context this time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you just want to pick characters and see what happens, or maybe Ben and Glow just finished a rewatch very recently. Uh-huh. So maybe they might be good people to ask about that.
I'm going to say I can leave it up to them. I trust their judgment.
All right. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right. And this is how they're finding out about that. So I hope they listen. Thanks, Aaron, for editing the podcast. You're forced to listen. We really appreciate you.
We sure do. Yeah. Thank you, listeners, for writing in on the Discord and via email and sharing your season 5 thoughts with us. It was really fun, and I'm really touched, and I thank you so much.
Yep. We're going to do one. Well, we're going to do one of these for Crusade when we finish Crusade. And then a few weeks after, we're doing an entire B5 universe spanning recap. So if you have thoughts on something not linked to a specific season, send them to our email, whoareyoub5@gmail.com, and we'll make sure that we talk about that when we get around to that episode.
Yeah, if you need a prompt, if you just need an idea, I would love to hear what Babylon 5 meant to you the first time you watched it.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
And even if that has changed in subsequent rewatches, I would love to hear about that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week, Internet.
All right. Bye.
Bye.